Almost 2 billion people around the world call themselves adherents to the faith of Islam. Prophet Muhammad, as a result, is one of the most influential figures in history. Although, how do we know that he actually existed, and how much do we actually know about his life? I mean, all the people from his time are dead, right? This video is sponsored by Magellan TV. Magellan TV is a streaming service that hosts over 3,000 documentaries and shows in various genres, from history to science, as well as travel and art. They're adding new shows all the time, which you can enjoy on all sorts of devices. Also, best of all, there are no ads, and an increasing percentage of shows is now available in 4K with no additional cost. They were kind enough to offer Al Muqaddimah viewers an extended free month-long trial. You can go to try.magellantv.com/almuqaddimah to take advantage of that. I would strongly recommend their documentary, Marketing the Messiah, which is kind of relevant to this video and documents how Christianity came to become what it is and how Jesus came to have the high status he enjoys today among the 2.2 billion Christians in the world. Another docuseries I'm really enjoying these days is Great Decisions in Foreign Policy, which discusses some of the most vital decisions of the modern world that shaped the world around us. Again, you can take advantage of a month-long free trial by clicking the link in the description. It would also help support the channel. Back to the video. Now, before I start this video, I'd like to say that I am Muslim. And for me, to be objective, I've had to struggle with reconciling my faith with my work. I don't think a liberal approach to Islam has emerged in a concrete form the way that it has in Christianity or Judaism. As a result, being a liberal Muslim is kind of difficult. For me, now there are two versions of Prophet Muhammad. One is Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, whom I believe in and try to follow to the best of my ability. He was the best of humanity, after all. Second is Muhammad, the historical subject, who is not that much different than the leaders of any other movement, religious or otherwise. He was a human being and very much a product of his time and environment. Now, I know people in the comments might call me munafiq, mulhid, murtad, or any other creative M-words, but that's just how I've managed to stay objective with my work while adhering to my faith as well. Let's get started. When you try to establish whether a person actually existed or not, the best evidence is physical and archaeological. Unfortunately, we don't have much luck in that field. I mean, there are many relics floating around, like his shirt and his staff, and there are museums that claim to have hair from his beard, but really, there isn't a way to verify it without doing things that would be considered very disrespectful. The first mention of Muhammad in the archaeological record comes from around 691 in the shape of an inscription on the Dome of the Rock, where he's called Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, and it is actually available for anyone to see. The Dome of the Rock was built by a Muslim caliph, Abdul Malik, so it really isn't the most reliable and unbiased source if you're trying to determine whether or not Muhammad existed. Secondly, you have to look at literary evidence. There's the Quran, but it's not a good historical source. Even if we can move past the fact that it's a religious book, not a history book, it still tells us remarkably little about Muhammad. Out of all the characters mentioned in the Quran, Muhammad is one of the ones it talks the least about. Events from Muhammad's life are referenced, but never narrated. The best literary evidence for his existence would be something that is chronologically close to his life and written by someone who wasn't a Muslim. So, do we have anything like that? Yes, we do. The first mention of Prophet among the Arabs comes only 2 years after the commonly accepted year of his death. A document composed in North Africa in 634, named Doctorina Jacobi, mentions it. The main purpose of the document is not to talk about the Arabs, though. Apparently, the Muslims killed a Byzantine official, and that's the context of the mention of the Arab prophet. You can pause and read the whole passage if you want, but I'll just read what's relevant here. I, having arrived at Sycamina, stopped by a certain old man, well-versed in the scriptures, and I said to him, "What can you tell me about the prophet who has appeared with the Saracens?" He replied, groaning deeply, "He is false, for prophets do not come armed with a sword." But the first mention of the name Muhammad in non-Islamic sources comes from the Chronicle of 640 by Thomas the Presbyter. In the year 634, on Friday, February 4, at the ninth hour, there was a battle between the Romans and the Arabs of Muhammad in Palestine, 12 miles east of Gaza. These are practically contemporary sources that prove that a prophet named Muhammad existed in Arabia and his followers invaded Byzantine Greater Syria. And these aren't the only sources. There are many other such documents as well. Since these documents are from non-Muslims and very close to the time that Muhammad is actually supposed to have lived in, historians almost universally accept that Muhammad existed. Not all historians, but most do. We have an Armenian document written around 661, which mentions Muhammad by name and talks a bit about his teachings, which no doubt the author learned from the Muslims. So it shows how early Muslims remembered Muhammad's teachings. If you might recall, 661 was the year of the assassination of Ali, the Prophet's cousin and son-in-law. So many companions of the Prophet were actually alive at this time. Although this source doesn't go into much detail on the teachings, just the big stuff like no pork, wine, lies, or fornication. So other than the fact that he existed, how much do we know about Prophet Muhammad? There are people who believe that almost all public moments of his career as a prophet are documented. I mean, there are volumes upon volumes of hadiths, which are sayings and actions attributed directly to him. A lot of Muslims believe that the hadith has an almost scientific backing in the way that it's filtered and recorded. For its time, the collection of hadith is impressive in its relative authenticity. On the other hand, are people who believe that basically nothing about Prophet Muhammad is known and hadiths are a total fabrication. After all, the compilation of hadith that we have date back to at least the 9th century, 200 years after the death of the Prophet. How much historical truth can really be in them? Now, the first biography of Prophet Muhammad was written by Muhammad ibn Ishaq called Sirat Rasulullah. It was a compilation of different oral traditions about the life of the Prophet. The book didn't survive in its original form, but it has been quoted by many later scholars whose books have survived. These books, primarily by Ibn Hisham and Al-Tabari, are the primary source of the traditional narrative of Muhammad's life. However, the Sirat Rasulullah is not a very reliable historical source. It has been criticized for many errors. The first thing is that Sirat Rasulullah was written at the very least 100 years after the Prophet's death. The books by Ibn Hisham and Al-Tabari come even later. Ibn Ishaq died around 770 or so, during the reign of Al-Mansur, the second Abbasid caliph. In fact, it's said that the biography was actually commissioned by Al-Mansur, hence the political background of the book is a bit shady. I mean, think about it. It might have been commissioned by the second ruler of a new dynasty that was related to the Prophet, and they had just overthrown a previous dynasty. It is generally believed among historians that at the bloody foundation of a new dynasty, history is usually one of the things that suffer, as it is often rewritten. We have no idea how, for instance, the Umayyads thought about the Prophet's life. Although it wouldn't be realistic to completely dismiss the biography either. There are many things that it can tell us about the life of the Prophet. Even though it was written by the great-grandsons of the Prophet's generation, they still had access to many fairly reliable sources. These biographers seem to have quoted people who were the sons of the companions of the Prophet, so they're not 100% fabrication. But then again, at the same time, filtering those sources is left to the author. For example, if the author came across two different versions of an event, he made the choice to include one and not the other. This choice was not always made without bias. As a result of all this, to draw a picture of the life of Muhammad is nearly impossible by modern historical standards. There are just too many problems with the sources, and only if you ignore some of the problems can you get an idea of the events in the life of the Prophet of Islam. Talking about the parts of the biography that are indeed authentic, we come to the so-called Constitution of Medina. This was a document that was written by the Prophet to serve as kind of a treaty between the different peoples in Medina at his arrival there in 622 or 624. Even the most skeptical historians do believe that this document is largely authentic. There are some parts that might have been edited later, but most of it does in fact come from the Prophet's early days in Medina. I will link Let's Talk Religion's amazing video on the topic in the description. I talked earlier about the year of Muhammad's death being 632, but that's the generally accepted year of his death. While there's some debate over it, there's some evidence to support the idea that his death was actually in 634. The difference comes from the correlation between the Islamic Hijra calendar and the Gregorian calendar. The year of the Hijra, or migration to Medina, might correlate to the years 622-623 or 624-625. And since we know that Muhammad died in the 11th year of the Hijra, his death could either be 632 or 634. This would sort of change the timeline of early Islam, but at the same time, it means that Muhammad might be the only founder of an Abrahamic religion to have been mentioned in a contemporary source, the aforementioned Dr. Rina Yacoubi. Concerning his death, we do have some evidence that suggests that his death was later than usually believed. There are quite a few sources that actually put Muhammad right in Palestine, leading the invasion that we usually believe happened under Abu Bakr and later Umar. Again, you can pause the video to read the whole passage. And after a few days, there rose a man among the Arabs from the southern regions, from Mecca to its vicinity, named Muhammad. And he restored the worshippers of idols to knowledge of one God. And he took possession of Damascus and Syria, and he crossed the Jordan and dammed it up. This report was probably written around 717 CE, and we don't know the source of the author. So again, not a very reliable source, but there's quite a few other ones as well. One mid-8th century source writes, "This Muhammad, while in the age and stature of youth, began to go up and down from his town of Yathrib to Palestine for the business of buying and selling. He saw the belief in one God and went back down to his tribesmen. He convinced a few and they became his followers. He led a band of them who were obedient to him and began to go up to the land of Palestine, plundering, enslaving, and pillaging. He returned laden with booty and unharmed." Now, this source is kind of shady as well. This passage is a 13th century reconstruction of an 8th century account from a source that is now lost. We don't know the source of that source either. There are quite a few scholars who believe that Muhammad was right there when Palestine was invaded by the Arabs, but many scholars don't find the evidence convincing. In the end, the historicity of Prophet Muhammad is a complicated subject. Almost 2 billion people around the world believe that they know enough about him to let him guide their daily lives. Any new research into his life and the first century of Islam has to be approached with utmost care. This makes progress a bit slow. Saudi Arabia has only relatively recently allowed archaeological research in their country, and still Mecca, Medina, and other holy sites are off the table. Hopefully in the future, we'll know more about this fascinating prophet and his followers. This video is part of a collaboration with Useful Charts and Let's Talk Religion. They're making similar videos exploring whether Moses and Jesus actually existed. Be sure to check those out. Link is in the description and on screen right now. Thank you for watching. See you next time.